Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. It's just me one on the 5th of December. Got two casualties, G. You know, keeping warm. And the man called CV, not 100%. So, this is a message from me to you guys out there. I hope you're taking your medicine. You know what I mean? And then when you get better, you can enter the lines then. You know what I mean? So, like I said, it's just me one. Just keeping Sheffield, Rotherham and Doncaster nice in that dab range. You know, Sweet Talking Sport is a straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest stories, you know, the latest news, whether local or international, drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society. This show is entirely devoted to sports, sporting discussions, whether it's near or whether it's far, good to go, expansive debates when the massive dem here. Yeah, and like I said, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show you'll ever hear. You know what I mean? So, you know, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but, and it's a big but, if you are, enjoy the ride. Lock on 93.2 FM, also available on DAB Digital, you know? Gonna start off with a bit of basketball news. And a man called LeBron James, 18 year. I'm gonna say this again, you know, just for the partially deaf man, say it again, you know what I mean? So, incredible record, 18 years, this guy has managed to bust double figures when shooting the hoops for Los Angeles Lakers. Well, unfortunately, LeBron only managed to shoot 8 last time out against the Toronto Raptors. You know, with a score of 123-120, what a close match that was. James 40 scored 8 points against the Raptors and handed out 11 assists, including the pass to Hachimura, who scored on the buzzer, beating the game winner. You know, game changer. When you bust points, you know, just playing the game right away, said James, you know, in his 23rd season. Always making the right play. That's how I got taught how to play the game. Well, I think that's quite obvious, isn't it? You know what I mean? Just playing the game the right way. James last failed to score double digits. Hear this now. January 2007, breaking Michael Jordan's previous record by 431 games. James struggled with his shooting for much of that night, connecting only just one in four of his 17 after missing all five of his three-pointer attempts, you know. With the NBA's leading scorer, Droncia, absent for personal reasons, Austin Reaves delivered a double of 44 points and 10 assists for the Lakers. I think it's a quite astonishing record, that 18 years. The guy's setting standards beyond doubt, but underperform, you know. That's through his own kind of like how he is, how he plays the game, you know. Done really well. 18 years for that. I think that deserves a big kind of like big celebrations all around, you know what I mean? I think for me, you must be just kind of like, sick, you know, for some people to kind of like look at somebody's kind of like downfall, you know what I mean? Like the guy says, you know, he was struggling with his shooting and stuff. Talking about sick, I can remember back in the days when people said, why? What happened to you? You must be sick. You must want a Fenzik. Well, let me talk about that. The Fenzik was introduced by Beecham's back in, 1933, a remedy for headache. And if you catch a fever too. True or false, this one, for them people who love the stats, aspirin and frenetic, the kind of like frenatin was removed from the tablet in 1966 due to safety reasons. Answers on a postcard, please, to Sheffield Live. So not a lot of people know that frenatin that was removed from the aspirin. And like I said, you know, when, you know, people was at school used to go around and say, boy, I want to, boy, you must be sick, you must be want a Fenzik, you know what I mean? I remember all them kind of little jibes, you know, or just teasing the people out there, you know. Big up Mr. James. It's a tall feat, that, to continue to score, you know, get into double figures, I should say. An 18 year, you know, that record now comes to an end. It's another chapter for somebody else to kind of like make history now, you know what I mean? That's what normally happens. Got another story here for you. And this is about a woman. I do believe she's only about like 23, I think she is. Hear this kind of story now. The Ukrainian Diving Federation wants to, strip Sofia Kulsom of her award. You know, the champion switched her international allegiance to Russia. So, like I said, this woman, only 23, I mean, what, you know, what kind of decisions were you out there making at 23? I mean, to get, you know, to represent your country at any level, any kind of sport I'm talking about, at 23, do you think that she made this decision on her own to switch allegiance from Ukraine to Russia? And, you know, that must have upset the most amount of people. Anyway, the Federation said, there wasn't informed. The coaching staff said that the Ukraine Ministry of Youth and Sports, they said of her intentions, they let them know and expressed deep and strong, they condemn her actions. The statement said that the Federation said that such steps at category, you know, she was no longer growing under her coaches in Ukraine, who were all gymnast and trampoline athletes. So they said that the reason she switched her allegiance was because there was nobody else really, you know, on her kind of like level. That's what they're saying. That's the underneath what they're kind of saying, really. I think it's a little bit more deeper than that myself, to be honest with you. You know, you're telling me that, you know, you're 23 and you're thinking, well, you know, there's nobody else to take me to the next level. I'm not growing. I'm not developing. Because that's big to come out with something like that, to say, you know, I'm not growing. There's nothing's really happening. I'm actually just switch allegiance. So Ukraine have said, you know what? If you want to switch, right, we're going to strip you. We want to strip you. Everything what you've won for us, yeah, we want to take them back. Can they do that? You know what I mean? I think sometimes they just make it up as they go along. But an extraordinary meeting of the Federation's executive committees, you know, unanimous decision was made to expel the young girl immediately from the Ukraine team. Well, I'm not surprised. If she wants to jump ship, that's the first thing that they're going to do, is expel her and just slow the process down. Strip her of all titles and awards received under their federation. That's the Ukraine Federation. It will also, there'll also be an appeal of international sports institution with a demand to appear. Sports quarantine to the, you know, athletic in accordance with the current international standards following the Russians' invasion of Ukraine back in 2022. Don't want to go into the war, but you know, it's part of this, what I'm kind of like saying. Athletics from Russia and Belarus were banned from competing in the World Aquatics event. Those restrictions have since been eased, with Russia and Belarusians allowed to compete individually as neutral athletes without their national flag or symbols. So it's like saying, do you know what? You can take part as an individual, but you're not waving the flag. You're not sort of like going under our banner. You know what I mean? I think that's a right kind of interesting story, that. And I said, you know, just roll back the clock. If you can think, when you were 23, you know, decisions, what you were making, you know, do you think that she's come under kind of like immense kind of pressure, you know? Federation have kind of like really put their boot in. You know, is it a case of sour grapes? Are they covering something up? Is it something even bigger than what we kind of like can imagine? For somebody at that age to switch allegiance, you know? Wow, you know? I mean, do you think that... I can remember, you know, the KGB, I mean, they got dissolved back in 1991, right? But, you know, anybody out there, do you know what the KGB kind of translate to? Committee for State Security, you know, intelligence, but security was their forte as well. However, that collapsed anyway, you know, when it was the Soviet Union. You know, basically security, like I said. But obviously now, they were, well, I think there was a, like a single entity, to be honest with you. But the people now who represent their agencies instead of the KGB, their personnel are known for continuing with the KGB's methods. You know what I mean? But if you can imagine, right, if it was like a kind of like, I don't know, let's say if it was kind of like a yard man or something like that, right? And he wanted to switch. So he was saying, you know, nah, you know, take me medal off me like that. You know what I mean? But I think he would have got a bit, would have probably got like a little bit kind of feisty out there as well, wouldn't it? You know? Somebody to just like make it up like that as you go along. To take your medals and stuff like that, you know. Man and man, where they just get vets and everything. What? Somebody would have got murdered for true, yes? Take it and off the medal. Well, I'm on Sophie's side, me. Left it. Like my mother would say, if you dare ever touch that, you better watch out for me and you. That's what the yard people would have said. A murder I'm a charge for them texting me medal. Would it say, Wallace? You know? Wow. Yeah, if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's 18:17, Friday the 5th of December. CV. You know, not very well. Like I said, you know, you're taking your medicine and G is keeping nice and warm because the weather's shocking out there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just been kind of like, just kind of talking about Sophie, the Ukrainian, who's switched allegiance, basically saying that, you know, she's not growing in her domain, which is aquatics. Jumped ship, gone to Russia, gone to the other side. You know what I mean? So what Ukraine is saying, do you know what? We're going to strip you. We're going to take all your medals and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to wash our hands. Well, I think there's somebody behind that. You know, there's got to be elders behind that, egging her on or something like that. Maybe a little money's exchanged hands also as well. You know, like I said, maybe it's the old KGB up to them tricks again. But she'll be well protected, I'm telling you. You know what I mean? So, you know, Russia stealing one, you know. And obviously we know about the big picture with Ukraine and the Russians them. You know what I mean? So Russians are coming from all kind of angles with that one. Yeah. Here we are now with a... Gonna go into football because, like, you know, I got a little bit of criticism the other week. Somebody said, yeah, you know, yeah. Why do we start with boxing and that? You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm just showing that can be versatile. When I'm ready for it. But here's a story. I don't think many people will kind of really have kind of looked at this because they're thinking, well, it's only Morecambe. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, there's big fishes in Markham, I'm telling you, because like a man who promised discipline, truthfulness, and compassion to Markham fans when we were fronting up with Punjab Warriors takeover. So basically, you get a consortium, you put your money in the pot, And if you've got enough, you can buy a club. So this consortium went about their business, yeah, you know, to take over Morecambe. But it's been sanctioned by the US, UK government. They've been accused of involvement in terrorism. How, you know, I think this story needs to be taken kind of quite serious, really. But one of the key figures behind the takeover deal finally concluded in August after a long legal battle with previous owner Jason Whittingham, lasting 7 months. Yeah? According to the Treasury, it is alleged to have recruited and purchased weapons and provided finance to the Barbacallis. Wow, you know, some kind of militant group, you know, respectively. So this was sanctioned under UK law, which aimed to create an independent state of Punjab region of India. His US, UK assets have been frozen by the Treasury, and he has been banned as company director. So, Morecambe fans, you know, I don't know who's at the top of the helm of your club, you know, on the board and all that kind of stuff, where you're getting your money from, you know. It's incredible how these kind of like stories just seem to come out. I mean, people might say, you know, well, who are Punjab Warriors? Well, they're a sports investment company combining innovation, operational expertise and capital to transform, you know, their ironic sports assets and cutting-edge ventures worldwide. But do you know what? Hold on. Can we not just leave out weapons and stuff out of the sports, guys? Do you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, individual who previously held a consultancy role in marketing and communications with, you know, their organisation is no longer affiliated with either Morecambe FC or Punjab Warriors. That was a statement from Morecambe, obviously covering their backs. This consultancy position carried on strategy, financial and operational authority, and has no involvement in the ownership of the club decision-making. But they're going to say that, aren't they? Following recent serious concerns that have come to light, we took immediate and defensive action. I'd probably say that I had to take evasive action, you know what I mean? And his association with both organisations has been fully removed. Can't just remove somebody just like that. You know, because I think you've got to question the financial gains, shifting money through. Do you know what I mean? Washing the money through a football club. So, you know, I think, I don't know what the players must be thinking about this, and some of the fans also as well. But the independent football regulations said it was working with relevant authorities and using our statutory information gathering powers to look into this matter urgently, with urgent effect, I would have said. You know, people have tried to comment Morecambe. Are they available? No, they're not. Would we like a bit of transparency? Yeah, we would, actually. Punjab Warriors' takeover of Morecambe was met with delight by fans. Oh, yeah, you know, we're going to be taken over. Who were facing the prospect of their team ceasing to exist after they were suspended from the National League over unpaid debts and salaries. Say no more. We know another club in Sheffield on them kind of lines, don't we? What are they called now? Answers on a postcard, I would have thought. The group, made up of various sheiks investors, with most of their money coming from principal shareholders. Well, I think, I think definitely needs looking into. Eventually purchased the club shortly before a deadline to provide proof of funds. So, you know, anybody who's wanting to buy a club, they've got to go through hoops, you know, and prove where the money's coming from, how they're going to sustain the club over a number of years, you know, paying players and wages and investments and what's their ideas, who's behind it, who's putting money in the pot, and so on and so forth. On their first day as owners, the kind of like press relations side of things was introduced as Punjab Warriors head of communications, and it was he who was the CEO. Sai, who opted to conduct the group first public interview. Well, you know, transparent. Have you got that? Not quite sure, really. You know, it's kind of like, you know, why would they want to purchase a club? Morecambe, no disrespect to them. Do you know what I mean? But like I said, are they shifting the cash? You know, is that one way of, staying under the radar? Well, all's to remain to be seen with that one. Yeah, so like I said, there's no Gino CV. You've just got me until, well, another half an hour, basically. But yeah, so far I've covered a little bit from basketball. LeBron James, 18-year record, no longer stands because he only shot 8 points against the Torpedoes. You know, just a mere 8 points, 2 points short. You know what I mean? You know. So, the Ukraine woman, 25-year-old. Decided that she didn't want to do her sports, aquatics for Ukraine, decided to jump ship and dive over into Russia, you know, so that kicked off over there. So, you know, the Ukraine authorities were saying, you know what, you know, you want to go over there, okay, then we'll show you what we're going to do, and we'll strip everything from you, your medals, what you've worked for hard years training. All of a sudden now you've decided that we're not good enough. But what she's saying is that, well, you know, you provide me with better facilities and stuff, you know, you could look at it one way, you provide me with, you know, some kind of like proper training and that, but she's saying, well, they're all gymnasts. You know what I mean? So the focus is not really on me, you know? So that's just another way of looking at things, yeah? 1828, gonna jump into a bit of boxing now. Chris Eubanks, 36, should he fight again? You know, is he spent? Is he kind of like playing with death, you know what I mean? Or is he looking at the big bags of corn? You know, he's saying that he's not going to fight again until he's 100%. Well, how long's a piece of rope? Me personally, I don't think he'll fight again. I think the most you'll get out of him is an exhibition, you know, with somebody like with Kell Brooks or something like that, you know, making a few more books. 39-year-old, it was coming off a dreadful performance against Conor Benn, but having said that, with Conor Benn, 14 concoction drugs, you know, masked up by steroids, not surprising, really. You know what I mean? You know, it was the second fight of their sequel, a grudge match. The first one was a belter. You know, left everything in the ring, and quite rightly so. But he's not looking to hang up his gloves yet. No, this is what I'm saying. Promoter Ben Shalom of Boxer confirms that Eubank wants to carry on and is looking a return in mid-2026. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't need to. There's no way that guy, Eubanks Jr., needs to put on them gloves and put his system through that, you know, messing about with contractual rehydration clauses. Do you know what I mean? You know, trimming down, you know, playing with death, basically. Twice he was kind of like in hospital the first time, and then I thought, I think that, you know, I think I saw some kind of picture of his head in it, you know, it was coming like a basketball and that, you know. So you want to put yourself through that, you want to give yourself enough time and think about it. Well, you know, sail off into the sunset and enjoy your rest of your life with your cash, you know. Open up a gym or something like that, you know. Put a little bit back into the sports instead of just taking it where you can't. You know, your bank balance must be whackered, you know. So there's no need for the extra bucks now. Just chill out, you know. Shalom would explain that anybody who watched Eubank's latest outing would easily recognise that he wasn't himself inside the ring. This is what Ben Shalom said, which most attributes to a difficult making. You know, rehydration clauses, like I said, but, you know, he'll look to come back better. Will he come back better? Does he need to come back better? This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, he doesn't need to. Eubanks would intimate in post-fight interview that he was dealing with some issues leading into the fight, but didn't care to elaborate on exactly what that is or what it meant. He probably threw what, this is again what Ben Shalong saying, he probably threw 30% of his punches. Everyone can speculate that reason, what the reason is. Chris knows what it is. We know what it is. But hang on a sec, you let him go in the ring, didn't you? See what I mean? You know, it wasn't like, no, you know, you're not fighting. You've got medical people also as well, which they say whether a fight is fit or not. But everybody's getting a food out of it, so they're not going to say, well, you know, I don't really think you should fight. They're not fighting on my shift. Do you know what I mean? This is dangerous. They want their food, you know? And that's the only reason why. I mean, you know, Eubanks is saying, do you know what? I weren't 100% fit. It probably wasn't even 50%. But with the explosive Conor Ben feeding him with some lefts and rights and that, and some serious combinations, he could have finished him. He could have finished him. You know, Eubank can beneficially, you know, notch that, what, 1-1 between them. Eventually, third fight would see, like, a likely opinion in the future. I don't think there should be a third fight. But money talks, doesn't it? You know, if Ben has said their saga has concluded, because Ben was saying, I'm done, I don't want no more of this. But you put a bag on his table and that, and saying, you know, what's this going to look like in your bank? He'll take it. Of course he would. He'd take it, wouldn't he? You know, Shalom himself also believes a rematch would be the third one, if Eubanks is healthy. And there's no more rehydration clauses. Well, there shouldn't have been one in the first place. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can remember, you know, Eubank was saying, well, you know, I'm finding it difficult, blah, blah, blah. What does Conor Benn say? Conor Benn says, well, he signed on the dotted line. And quite rightly so. He's got every right to say that, you know. I just think that, you know, if you're willing to kind of like put your kind of like health at risk, you know, you gotta question it, haven't you? You gotta question that, you know. What does 100% look like? You know, because 100% looks different to different people. You know what I mean? You know what it looks like to me. Well, do you know what? I'm gonna tell you. 100%. You've got to be at your maximum. Yeah, sustainable, Duracell. You know, high energy, pushing the limit, red line. You know, you got to fight through all that adversity. You know, this is what 100% looks like to me. Mental state of mind, be in the zone, be present, yeah, be focused, blocking out all them distractions and stuff, yeah. Your mindset's got to be right, not backing down regardless of, you know, the condition, yeah. You know, you've got to be prepared, you know. You know, if you fail to prepare, then, you know, prepare to fail. Maximum effort, you know. Trust the process, you know. High intensity, no gaps. Make a habit, good habits. They've got to be good habits. Your discipline, yeah. Like I said, that's what 100%. Means to me. I don't know what it means to you, but like just kind of like just thinking and looking what Ben Chalon said, you know, it just goes through me, you know, because he's saying, listen, I'm gonna have to say a little bit of this again, you know. I think anybody with any kind of brain can see that wasn't Eubank Jr. in there, you know. He wasn't himself. 30% of the punches that he threw in there, you know, it was finished. It was done. It was spent. It didn't even have no energy, you know. But like I said, you know, people need a food, yeah, and that's exactly why he was able to fight. I just think it's kind of shocking, you know. Wow. Now I'm gonna play you now. I want you to hear something a little bit else of a discussion about. This is what I'm saying. I'm sure quite a few people have seen that video on YouTube. It's all over, you know, when he was unconscious in hospital.
Really was second best. The video is on the YouTube channel if you're watching right now, by the way. We're showing it at this moment. After the fight against Conor Benn, he suggested he'd been dealing with problems leading up to the fight, but didn't want to expand on it. You know, we've heard from Harlan.
Why? Why didn't want to expand on it?
There was, again, allusions to something that was going on.
What they're covering up.
Quite wanting to talk about it. So what is the situation here? He said, I've been dealing with a lot of health issues over the last year, and it finally all caught up with me last month. I suppose the big question is, if it was that bad, why did he get in the ring in the first
exactly,
place?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Crazy.
Over health is the situation here, isn't it? Like, Chris Eubank Jr., is obviously there's an underlying health problem.
I agree with that.
Has alluded to in, you know,
wealth
in
over
the last
health.
Couple of weeks. And
crazy.
It was clearly an issue. And he's gone in there, taking the fight, taking the money, knowing that he's not at 100%. You know, the questions that need to be raised are, the British Boxing Board of Control. Why didn't they know this? Why haven't they spotted this? You know, they have these regular checks, weight checks.
We and that
how much he struggles to make the weight. And that was a big problem. That was a big problem in the last fight. You know, and there was big concerns about him struggling to make the weight. Going in there with underlining health problems as well is a big concern.
It's a massive concern.
And it's not just the Boxing Board of Control, is it? Because this was Ben Shalom on the show last week.
I think anyone with any sort of brain can see that wasn't Chris Eubank Jr. He was a shell of himself. I think he threw 30% of the punches that he threw in the first few rounds in the first fight. He was finished. He was done. He didn't even have the energy to fight
back. Yeah, but Ben knew that before the fight.
Because
yeah, he can't make excuses.
A lot of fans paid a lot of money to go and see that fight.
And that's what it's about, isn't it? The lolly.
All I'll say is that he knew, we knew on the day that he was not right, and that it's not for me to go into why and how.
He wasn't right before it.
He was not right before the
fight. You knew on the day he wasn't right before the fight.
We knew coming like court, innit? Yeah.
A tough ask to see the Chris Eubank Jr. that we all know.
Okay, so in which case, then why did Ben Shalom allow him to get into the ring and fight?
It's not Ben Shalom's gift to dictate to another man what he does and doesn't do. The idea that he may not have been right, I mean, imagine there's plenty of fighters on fight day that may not be mentally or physically right at 100% to go into a ring, but can perhaps back on themselves to produce an outcome. Some people would say that when Anthony Joshua went against Andy Ruiz, he wasn't psychologically right, and they saw the ramifications of the outcomes during the course of the fight. And that was an excuse
got a point there.
For Anthony Joshua's loss. Or an explanation, depends upon your perspective. Chris Eubank Jr. is a big boy and decided that he wanted to go into that fight, and for one reason, for one reason only, because he was getting paid inordinate amounts of money, not because of the obligations to maintain the family name, because if someone offered him 50 grand to maintain the family name, he'd have told him to bugger off. The fact they've offered him £10 million to do it, then he'll do it.
Simon, doesn't the promoter or the team, in around him have a duty of care for this guy going in? Ben Shalom said himself there, we knew on the day that he wasn't right. I mean, that's a big concern, that, for
well,
me.
Depends what
I just
not,
go,
depends
like,
what not right means.
Again, everyone is getting pained out of this, so they're putting wealth over health. God forbid something happens.
Well, if he now says he's been dealing with a lot of health issues,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, clearly, he wasn't right, was he?
Well,
it's not just, there's not a headache.
But again, go back and say that he was probably dealing
with a lot of health issues. Them aspirin from Beecham's, what I was dealing with earlier on.
Excuse for the performances that he's put in, they are a legitimate concern. They were the same concerns going into the first fight, so they were there, they've been there, this underlying condition prior to the first fight. They're there in the second fight. Maybe they all thought, irrespective of the fact that he wasn't 100% and it was a challenge for him, that he could do enough to be able to win the fight, that Conor Benn wasn't good enough to be able to bridge the gap. It proved to be not the case. It wasn't, you know, clearly he wasn't well enough strong enough and physically capable enough to deal with the onslaught that Conor brought into that particular fight and the challenge that he had, but he didn't get knocked out.
No, but
he lasted the 12 rounds.
Yeah, he did, but to be fair, he looked like he was
look,
walking on
you know,
from the moment.
I don't think that's the point about he didn't get knocked out. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't, he had health problems and he was allowed to fight. Root of all evil, cash. It's all about the cash.
See the videos emerge of Chris Eubank Jr. in the hospital, which they have posted out, and you see those, and he does look extremely unwell. That is a big concern.
Well,
I can't say he's active.
I have to say, I think that's relatively absurd. I mean, people go and have surgery, people go into hospital. We don't know the reasons why you're posting an image on Instagram. That's private matter.
It was a very vague statement afterwards as well, wasn't it? He didn't give much context to it. It sort of, he wouldn't say anything else about it. He just had that statement that we saw on the video there, and underneath it he said, you know, about dealing with a lot of health issues, I will not box again until I'm back to 100%. I don't know when that will be, but one thing's for certain, for the fans,
I don't think he's coming back.
I will do everything in my power to make,
like,
sure
I said, not at that kind of levels.
Come back. Were the fans that bought into the event, entertainment and contest, sold a bit of a pup?
Of course they were.
100%.
You know, like, you know,
100%.
We saw the Chris Eubank Jr. and you go, like, It was a cash job, you know. It was a smash and grab. He's got in there. He's nicked the money. He's done a bank robbery, effectively, and the people have paid for that.
Yeah, these guys, no.
I've got big concerns about Chris actually getting to the point of getting in the ring with the people that are around him, with the British Boxing Board of Control, with the health issues, the underlying health issues that he had. How has he got through all of that? That is a big problem for me.
You know, I think you've got the gist of that. But yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be allowed, you know. If
as a trainer or a coach, referee, promoter, the fighter themselves, you know. I mean, people said, you know, it's not a game. Do you know what I mean? You're going to get hurt. Do you know what I mean? They say it's the only kind of like sport, really. It's not really a game, you get hurt. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as that, because we know how to can fudge boxing events. Do you know what I mean? Like what we watch and what the judges watch sometimes. The fight's already decided. You know what I mean? We've seen, you know, when, you know, just, you know, for argument's sake, Wilder, when he fought Tyson, when he popped him on the deck and the referee's taking his time with the count and stuff. Do you know what I mean? How fudged up was that? Blatant fudging up. You know what I mean? So, you know, when people say, well, you know, boxing, you know, it's not a game, you know. You can get hurt in it, but it's also fudged as well. But I think that, you know, the authorities need to look at themselves. And if somebody, you know, well, not somebody, if Eubank Jr., right, collapsed after that fight, and unfortunately, don't wish this, don't get me wrong, suffered fatal injuries and weren't around today, could they look in the mirror the next day? Do you know what I mean? Would they feel, what would they feel? Would they feel kind of shame? You know? Because I don't think for one minute they'd be able to look in the mirror and say, do you know what? We shouldn't allow that fight to happen. Yeah? The only way that fight wouldn't have happened, if it did a leak tight in the public domain, right? Just like last time when you know, Conor Benn failed the drug test. Can you remember? And it leaked tight into the public domain. And there was no way on earth that fight could have happened. Yeah? They had no... They had kind of like nowhere to go. They had to abandon, that to scrap it, that to call it off, reschedule it, yeah? And people would have been vexed because, you know, they wouldn't have got their con, you know what I mean? So, would we want a repeat of that? I mean, how would that have looked if that fighter got called off, you know, because of Eubanks' health concern, you know? How would people feel? How would it have looked if we'd have known about Ben masking up with juice? Do you know what I mean? So you got Eubank, health concern, yeah? And Conor Ben juicing up. What a combination, you know? That spells disaster, you know? This is Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 5th of December, 1848. You know, if you've just joined, hope you're, you know, having your own debates in your own backyard. You know, we've covered quite a bit on the show already, but you can catch it up later on catch up. We looked at the basketball legend LeBron James, 18-year-old record coming to an end because he only shot 8 points, didn't get into double figures for the first time in 18 years. What an outstanding achievement. And then a story about Sofia, young Ukrainian woman, I think she was about 25. You know, her forte is the aquatics. No, sorry, she's 20. She's only 23, woman about 25. 23-year-old. So even more disturbing. 23-year-old saying, do you know what I mean, to authorities, do you know what? Mm-mm, I've done with your people. I've done with me people. I'm jumping ship. I've gone to Russia. You know what I mean? At 23. What decisions were you making at 23? That's what I was asking people out there. Yeah? Switch alliances from Ukraine to Russia. You know, so what Ukraine have done, fire with fire as well. You know, what we're saying is that you've won the medals and all the accolades while you've been representing us. We want them back. We'll take them back. So, you know, well, that's what they're saying. And how about that from Morecambe takeover with the Warriors? Them, you know, where are they getting their money from? You know, yeah, enough said about that one. And then obviously, you know, it is a big story. I mean, everybody knows. I mean, you know, money, yeah, the root of all evil. All roads lead to that. Do you know what I mean? People's attitudes and behaviour changes when you see some dosh in front of them. You know what I mean? Yeah? You never know, you might be living amongst them. Yeah? But you watch all them flicks and them just switch quick time when money did they, you know what I mean? And then, you know, Ben Shalon, I mean, had to be a brave guy, you know, to come on air and say that to the public, that you knew about Eubanks' health, and you're coming on air. And do you know what? I looked in his face when he was saying it was a bit under pressure as well. It was uncomfortable and so it should be uncomfortable. It should have been that uncomfortable. It shouldn't have been there in the first place anyway. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll not see that pantomime. You know, Chris Eubank Jr., he needs to listen to his pops now, sail off into the sunset and enjoy himself. You know, this is Sweet Talking Sport on Friday, the 5th of December, 1851. In fact, I'm going to talk about United now. You know, finish ranting and raving and stuff, you know. So, Sheffield United, we entertain, saying we, because, yeah, I'm a Blade, I'm a United fan, if you haven't worked it out by now. Play Stoke City, 3 o'clock kickoff at the Lane tomorrow. We all Blades, aren't we? Yeah. United hitting good form at the moment, but it's only good if you keep that going. You know, it's no point in taking a couple of steps forward or three steps forward and five back. Do you know what I mean? You know, you've got to keep going. Is it too early to talk about the playoffs? Well, I tell you what, if they keep collecting the 3 points here and there, then it could well happen, you know what I mean? But in fact, I'm going to come out with a stat here. United have won their last three games against Stoke, netting three goals. Yeah, well, the last three games, they popped in three. I'm going to stick my neck out here on the line. I reckon they'll get three tomorrow. And, you know, there's Campbell and Cannon, ex-Stokes marksman, might get one each, yeah? An unlikely scorer for a goal, maybe a defender. You know, there's news of a few players trying to work their way back into the frame, or Blaster, who had a serious injury. I don't think, and this is only my personal opinion, I don't think he's going to be the same player as what he was before, and also Chung as well. Well, I reckon he could go back to Leicester with Obey, send him back to Leicester as well. Bidding, send him back to Notts Forest, and it's probably a couple other ones what could go back as well. But yeah, home win for the Blades, banging in three goals. I can see that happening. Sheffield Wednesday travel to Blackburn Rovers. Blackburn Rovers
18th in the league, Wednesday at the bottom. It's looking on the cards, a home win all day long, but no game's ever won on paper anyway, as we're saying. Owls have got absolutely nothing to lose, but here it is anyway. The people the administrators, that's the right word I'm looking for, administrators. One of the guys, big Wednesday fan, okay? May not be common knowledge anyway. But he said, yeah, this kind of winds me up this. He said on the 5th of December today, he's going to name the party that the interested buyer for Sheffield Wednesday, right? Well, we're near nothing yet. So apparently they're going to delay. They're going to delay naming the kind of person who's one of the front runners to buy Sheffield Wednesday. Do you know what? They should dock them 5 points for that. You know what I mean? Telling fibs, you know what I mean, that the public's going to find out on the 5th of December. Well, we're here now, yeah, you know, why can't, you know, we talk about transparency and that, why can't you just say, you know, this is the party who are looking to buy, dock them some points, man, you know what I mean, yeah, that's what I say. But yeah, a tough ask, travelling to Blackburn, the plane, well, saying that they're playing some youngsters, they got really no choice. But some of these youngsters now will be better for it in League One next term out. You know, they're playing teams like Rotherham United, Barnsley, Huddersfield, Doncaster. They're massive games for Sheffield Wednesday, I'm telling you, they're absolutely massive. And also a trip down to the coast, you know what I mean? We'll have a stick of rock, don't we? Yeah. Hey, so yeah, captain, bring me back a pineapple rock, yeah. And some for the boys too. Running out of time, so I can't see, just going to cut that short, I can't see Wednesday collecting any points at Blackburn, and as long as Blackburn players keep their feet on the ground, it's going to happen. I think it's just a case of a matter of time. They're going to have to be patient, and there's 3 points waiting for them. So come the 6th of December, Sheffield Wednesday will be still minus 10. Yeah, it's a big ask, isn't it? It's like, how do you rally your troops up? You know, what do you say to them? Do you know what I mean? You're 10 points adrift, you know, heading into Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Santa's not coming. You know what I mean? Oh, boy. Into the Premier League now. Man City, they entertain Sunderland. Obviously, doing this on behalf of CV, who's kind of like, you know, taking his medicine. City's second in the league, Sunderland 6. Pep saying that he's cool with Nori. There's a bit of trouble in the camp, actually. Nori, 31 mil they paid for him from Wolves. But yet you've got O'Reilly keeping him out of the side. I mean, I kind of like O'Reilly, youngster. And I thought, you know what, if he's not playing regular, it'd be wicked down at the lane, but there's absolutely no chance of that. But, you know, Pep saying that, yeah, I'm cool with Nori. There's no problem. But why don't you play him then? 31 mil. Do you know what I mean? And then you've got a youngster. If you spend 31 mil on a left back, you'd expect him to play. But, yeah, we know that there's no kind of guarantees or anything like that, you know. Bit of news as well. Trafford apparently wants to chip in January. Yeah, he's not getting the game time what he thought he would get. Well, for some reason, Trafford
Really? You thought that you'd be, you know, Man City's number one. Do you know what I mean? Again, it's a signing on fee. It's a bit of cash. And you can take a hit. Put in for a transfer. Do you know what I mean? You know? Well, listen. You know? 18:59. I've just got enough time to say, you know, I'm out of here. And, you know, you other people keep warm out there. And the boys who don't present, take your medicine.